Chapter 1. A New Arrival in Avonlea. Mrs. Rachel Lynde often sat at her kitchen window keeping watch of what was happening in the quaint little town of Avonlea. On this fine June afternoon, she was rewarded by seeing Matthew Cuthbert from Green Gables calmly driving through the valley and up the hill. His best brown horse pulled him along as he sat in his buggy, dressed in his finest brown suit. "Now, where is shy Matthew Cuthbert going, and why is he going there?" Mrs. Rachel said to herself. "He hardly ever left his farm, let alone Avonlea." Curiosity got the better of her, and when he was out of sight, she walked over the lush fields to Green Gables to find out more from Matthew's sister, Marilla Cuthbert. Plain Marilla was in her spotless kitchen preparing dinner when Mrs. Rachel arrived. "Good afternoon, Rachel," Marilla said quickly. "This is a real fine afternoon, isn't it? Won't you sit down? How are your folks?"
"We're all pretty well," replied Mrs. Rachel. "I saw Matthew leaving today, and I came over to see why."
"Matthew went to Bright River. We're getting a little boy from an orphanage in Nova Scotia. He's arriving on the train tonight." Marilla might as well have said that Matthew had gone to Bright River to meet a kangaroo from Australia. "What on earth put such a notion into your head?" Mrs. Rachel said, not hiding her disapproval. After all, she had not been consulted in this decision, thus it must be disapproved of.
"Well, we've been thinking about it for some time," returned Marilla. "We thought we'd get a boy. My brother is getting old. You know, Matthew's 60, and he isn't as fit as he once was. His heart troubles him a good deal. So in the end, we decided to ask Mrs. Spencer to pick us out one when she went over to get her little girl."
"Well, Marilla, I think you're doing a very foolish thing. You're bringing a strange child into your house and home, and you don't know a single thing about him."
"Matthew was set on it. I could see that, so I gave in. And as for the risk, there's risks in almost everything one does in the world, isn't there?"
"Well, at least you're not getting a girl. I dare say a girl would be quite useless," said Mrs. Rachel.
"Well, we're not getting a girl. I'd never dream of taking a girl to bring up," said Marilla, as if it was the most ridiculous thing she had ever heard.
Matthew Cuthbert was enjoying the 8-mile drive along Prince Edward Island to Bright River. His long gray hair blew about gently in the wind, and he relished the refreshing smell of the sea nearby. When he reached Bright River a little later than expected, however, there was no sign of any train, and the only people there were a little girl and the station master. Upon seeing Matthew, the station master approached him.
"Mr. Cuthbert, there was a passenger dropped off for you, a little girl. She's sitting out there on the steps."
"I'm not expecting a girl," said Matthew blankly. "It's a boy I've come for, and he should be here. Mrs. Alexander Spencer was to bring him over from Nova Scotia for me."
The station master whistled.
"Guess there's been some mistake," he said. "Mrs. Spencer came off the train with that girl. Said you and your sister were adopting her from an orphanage, and that you would be along for her shortly."
Matthew felt a sense of dread as he turned about and walked down the platform toward the orphan girl. He was scared of most females, as he always felt they were laughing at his odd appearance. Some said he resembled a gnome. He noticed the girl was a child of about 11 in an old yellowish-gray dress. She wore a faded brown hat, and beneath the hat were two long braids of very thick, very red hair. Her face was small and sprinkled with freckles, while her mouth was large, and so were her bright, shiny green eyes.
"I suppose you are Mr. Matthew Cuthbert of Green Gables?"
the girl said sweetly as she stood up and held out her hand in greeting.
"I'm very glad to see you. I was beginning to be afraid you weren't coming for me, so I was considering sleeping in that big wild cherry tree at the bend. I wouldn't be a bit afraid, you know."
Matthew took the thin little hand awkwardly in his. He could not tell this beaming child that there had been a mistake.
He would take her home and let Marilla do that.
"I'm sorry I was late," he said shyly. "Come along. The horse is over in the yard."
"Oh, it seems so wonderful that I'm going to live with you and belong to you. I've never belonged to anybody, not really. But the orphanage was the worst. I've only been in it for 4 months, but that was enough. There is so little scope for the imagination in an orphanage," the girl said dramatically. As they trotted back to Avonlea, she continued talking without pause.
"I've always heard that Prince Edward Island was the prettiest place in the world, and I used to imagine I was living here, but I never really expected I would. It's delightful when your dreams come true, isn't it? But am I talking too much? People are always telling me I do. Would you rather I didn't talk? I can stop when I make up my mind to do it, although it's difficult."
Matthew, much to his own surprise, was enjoying himself.
"Oh, you can talk as much as you like. I don't mind," he said gently.
"Oh, I'm so glad. I know you and I are going to get along together fine. It's such a relief to talk when one wants to and not be told that children should be seen and not heard. I've had that said to me a million times," the girl replied.
She then pulled one of her long braids over her thin shoulder and held it up before Matthew's eyes.
"Look!"
"It's red, isn't it?" he said.
"Yes, it's red," she sighed. "Now you see why I cannot be perfectly happy. I don't mind the other things so much, the freckles and the green eyes and my skinniness. I can imagine them away. But I cannot imagine this red hair away. I dare say that it will be a burden my whole life."
The only thing that made the little girl quiet was the beauty of the scenery. As they neared Green Gables, she was amazed. She saw a brilliant green pond surrounded by towering trees and bright spring flowers. Her imagination took over, and she declared that from now on, she would refer to the pond as the Lake of Shining Waters.
"Oh, it seems as if I must be in a dream, but it is real, and we're nearly home," she sighed happily.
Matthew felt uncomfortable. He was glad that it would be Marilla, and not he, who would have to tell the little girl that she couldn't stay. Being a sensitive soul, he couldn't bear to break her little heart.